Today we're going to start Gufida Halacha Vav. We're going to read Halacha even though it's not going to be directly related to this time shared. Let's read inside. Sharach Lizar of Livdag, Velachgar. You have to make all kinds of investigations. B'sheikhar, Uvamashka Shal Drash, Sha'oisim, O'odi Kacham Achshav. Nowadays, the Sheikhar, different kinds of beer, or the mead, that they make, that they're going to make nowadays, in Noisimim Shemar Shemayim, they might put in the lees, the leftover pieces, after you make wine, as a source of yeast. You have to make sure that they didn't put that in, because if they did, then it would be trade. Again, we're in the middle of halachas of things that are usher because there's a chashash that there might be some wine mixed into them, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us there's other chashash. Now the Ramah says, in Dark Elitim Boy Shmarim, if they put them in, if that's typical that they put them in, also litnis behem, then you can't buy it. In Ein B'mash Kishishim Min HaShmarim, unless there's 60 times as much beverage as there is Shmarim, the who, but this that I told you that if there would be Shishim would be good enough, though I have legal time, it doesn't give taste, the time I feel a bell of a bottle. If it would be a legal time, then it would not be bottled no matter what, even 1,000 times. So, this Ramah, is the center, the nexus of a very big question about Davar HaMaimed. We're going to talk about Davar HaMaimed today. We're not going to talk about how it has to do with the Ramah until next time. Next time will be about what it has to do with the Ramah. But sort of as an introduction to that, we're going to talk about a lot of things that have to do with Davar HaMaimed. And there's going to be a prep for next time. We're going to talk about how that fits with the Ramah. With this big question on the Ramah and how that makes sense. Okay, so I'm going to point to four early makaris, four early sources to the din of Davar HaMaimed. Now, before I tell you what these four are, I'll tell you that the Gemara, to my knowledge, never says that a Davar HaMaimed cannot be bought. Okay? To my knowledge, the Gemara never uses those words. The Gemara says something else. The Gemara says Hakol Ho Hakara Maimid. That's a din in Hichas Kalim, like for Tumah and for Tilas Kalim. It uses the word Hakol Ho Hakara Maimid. We spoke about that in Tilas Kalim. But to say that a Davar Maimid is not bottle, to my knowledge, that's not a Beferish Gemara. What is it? It comes from a different Gemara. Okay, it comes from a Gemara that says is the Gemara by Dezara that says you're not allowed to eat Gvinis Akum. You're not allowed to eat cheese that was made by a goy because of a chashash that maybe the goy was maimed with kevus nevela. Maybe the rennet that he put in came from a keva that's a part of this animal stomach, of a cow's stomach. He used the keva from a treif animal, and therefore we're chashash that he made his cheese using kevus nevela, and therefore you can't buy a gvinis akum. Okay, so Rishonim yes a kash on that Gemara, and they say why did the Gemara say that we're chashash that the goy used a kevus nevela? What's the point of saying that it was a keva from a nevela? You could just say it was from a keva. Because even if it's from a kosher keva, even if it's from the stomach of a kosher animal, the same problem, it'll be possible chalav. So a keva's nevela means it'll be treif. But a keva from a kosher animal would be possible chalav. So why would the Gemara say it was keva's nevela? I mean, probably the guy would use a keva from a nevela, because we would get a kosher keva from, but that word is extra. You just say keva. But maybe he would mind with a keva, and the keva would cause a problem. Okay, so most Rishonim's answer to that question is the following. They say that if it was just a question of regular keva, kosher keva, then it would be just a shaila possible chalav. And there's so little keva put into the cheese, you put in such a small amount of rennet, that it would be baltim shishim. It wouldn't be nois and tam. The keva couldn't possibly be nois and tam into the milk, and into the cheese, and therefore there wouldn't be a shaila possible chalav. So if the guy would have made it with a keva from a kshera, then there would be no shaila of. There would be no problem. It wouldn't be awesome off that. So Chazal wouldn't have awesome because it wouldn't have been exera out of Kavas Kshera because Kavas Kshera is nothing. It would not make the cheese trade. But from Kavas Nevela, since the Kava was mime the cheese, the Kava, Tak is not nice and time into the cheese, but the Kava makes it turns the liquid milk into the solid cheese, which is a whole different thing, and it's a solid, and instead of a liquid, it's a whole new structure of what you made, so therefore it's a Davar HaMaimed, and therefore that cheese would be Aser, and therefore Chazal Aser Gvinis Akum up to that case. Okay, so the Makar that we should have a din of, that Davar HaMaimed is not Bato, that Davar HaMaimed is not Bato, that Davar Maimon is not bottle, it's an indirect diuk from the fact that the Gemara of Venus Akum took the Kavis in the Veil instead of talking about just Kavo. Kavis Kshera is a diuk that's an Isra of Venus Akum. And Araya, well, we're going to talk about more about this next time, but sort of Araya, that's where the Gemara comes from, is that Tosis, I told you what most Rishonim answer to the Kasha, why it says Kavis in the Veil instead of Kavis Kshera. Tosis gives a different answer. And there's a whole group of Poskim who say, since Tosis gives a different answer, Tosis doesn't hold such an Isra of Maimon at all. Tosis doesn't Bechlal hold that such a thing as an Isra of Davar HaMaimon. Okay? That is to say, if not for this Makar, if not because of this Kasha that most Rishonim ask, an answer the way I just told you, then there would be no such thing. There would be no din that Davar HaMaimon is also. In fact, some say that Tosis doesn't hold the Davar HaMaimon. Okay, we'll talk about that more for next time. Okay, now, this din that, so that's the Gemara. That's the makar that we have such a din that the Davar HaMaimon is also. Okay. That I don't see, maybe next time I'll tell you that I did see it, but for now, I don't see it beferish any place in Hilchos Taruvus that Davar HaMaimon is not bottle. And Hilchos Taruvus is a bunch of din of things that are not bottle. If it's a barrier, it's a Davar Choshev, there's all kinds of din, even Avit al Taim, a bunch of things that are not bottle. It's not so far I'm telling you that it's not in Hilchos Taruvus. It is in Hilchos Basa B'chol. Okay, so I'm going to tell you two din in Shulchan Aruch and one Beis Yosef. Okay, one is essentially this din. But I just told you that there's a difference between whether your maimed cheese with kavis neveil or kavis kshera is in the mechaber and the ramah in sim pezayin in hilchus basam hal, where it says if your maimed cheese with kavis from a neveila, then the cheese is straight. If your maimed cheese with kavis from a kshera, then the cheese is kosher. Okay, so the deal from that gemara is born in hilchus basam hal. Okay. It's born in hilchus basam hal that if you make cheese this way, it's kosher. If you make cheese this way, it's straight. Okay, so that's a case where the Ramah says that the Ramah uses the word, and because the Davar HaMaimon is not bottle. Okay, the Mechaber doesn't use those words, but that's clearly what he means. If even the Ramah speaks it out, that's because the Davar HaMaimon, if it's makes the thing trick. Okay, it's not going to be bottle. Okay, another case in Hilchos Pesach. Okay, in Hilchos Pesach, it says if you made cheese, you maimed a cheese with something that was chamtzik. Not clear exactly what that means, how that works. But anyway, if you're maimed cheese with chametz, maybe it's a soft cheese, and if you're maimed cheese with chametz, then the Mechaber says is that the cheese, you can't eat that cheese on Pesach. Okay? So it's another case where the reason why you can't do it is because of the Davar HaMaimon. That's a case in Hilchos Pesach. Okay? And the last is that, you probably remember this also, is that in the end of Siman Kufta as well, when the it's a din of Gvit Chalav Akum and Venus Akum. The Mechaber brings this din. He says that if you have yogurt, which is made from Chalav Akum, so I don't eat it. And now you take a scoop of that yogurt, I don't know if it says on your yogurt, but on some of them it's, again, it has live culture. So you take a little of that yogurt and you plop it into some more milk, okay? And then it starts to act on that milk and turns that milk into yogurt. And then you take a scoop from that into another one. Okay, if you do that, those three hamadas, if you take a scoop from each one three times and to the end, then the last one that you have is mutter, because the hamada, the fact that you started with chol v'akum is gone. After three bitulim, it's already going to be gone. Okay.
Thing that has...
That's a good point. Very good. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to come to that in a second. So in this case of yogurt, the Shukrach says that if you did it three times, then it's going to be bottle. Okay, of course, the underlying implication is, had you done only one time, of course, it's not kosher, because it's a minor, it's a very small amount. We spoke about it then. The amount that's in there is bottle v'shishim, but the point is, if a lot of times, then it's so bottle, then it becomes mutter. Okay, well, whatever that din is, that's not relevant to today, at least for right now. But the overall point is that before that, it was not bottle because of the Davar HaMaimon. Okay, so this is my earlier Makaris. I bet there are others that I can think of. But one is the Gemara, from which the whole din starts. And then three places where the Shulchan Aruch is essentially the same. Okay?
There's always Mishnayos about Seoir.
Oh, we'll come to that. That's going to be for next time. We'll talk about it next time. Not today.
Is that not minded?
We're going to talk about it next time. That's what we'll talk about next time. Okay? Today, we're just prepping for next time's going to be about Mishnayos. Okay. Now let's go to some examples, because I'm going to spend the rest of my time on different examples and exceptions. Okay, before I tell you my examples, and before I tell you my exceptions, I just have to mention that there is a machlokes. I told you the way we assume that Davar HaMaimon is Usur, and that Davar HaMaimon is Usur Midrabana. Okay, as the Prim Gan says someplace, he says anything that needs more than shishim is also a drabon. Okay, anything that needs more than shishim is a drabon. Okay, so something that's not baltim shishim is a drabon. Okay, and most people assume that maimon is not baltim drabon. Okay, but you should know there are two extreme shitas on the opposite of that, and that is the shach brings in simin pei zayin that there's a yamsha shalomim who says that a maimon is always baltim, or just about always baltim. Okay, the Shach says, I don't agree with that. The Shach says, he brings the Yamsha Shalom, he says, I don't agree with it. But so on one extreme is the Yamsha Shalom, who says, basically, in almost every case, a Maimed is Bapal. And the opposite extreme is the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach, brings from the Tor, that when the Tor brings the din, this din about cheese made with chametz, he brings the words from a Gemara, I remember the words in front of me, the Gemara on the same Daf, Lamed Hey, but it's not talking about Gvinas Akam, 20 lines before him, it talks about something not being bottle because it's like nicker betaruvis, or it's visibly, I've got the words of the Gemara over there, and the Tor, when he's talking about Davar HaMaimed, makes it, maybe I have the words over here. No, I don't have it. Okay, it's as if the Chametz is be'en, okay? It's as if the Chametz is be'en. So the Magen Avraham says you could be medayik that the Tor holds that Davar HaMaimed is not bottle midaraisa. Because when something is going to be bottle, if there's a tarubis, if it's be'en, then it's not bottle. So he says, when he says it's as if it's be'en, so the Magen Avraham says that the Tor holds it's not bottle mit the raisa. Okay, now, Chagaka says, I don't think that that's the way to read the Tor. The Tor just says it's like it's be'en, it's not really be'en. I mean, you don't see the pieces floating around. Chagaka says it's not true. Really, everybody holds this to drop on it. And you should know those words that it's near like it's been is not brought in the mechaber. Okay, so just the Torah holds like that. So it's such a shita potentially that Meir is not bottle midrash. It's like we have extremes. The Marshal holds it's bottle always. The Torah potentially holds that it's bottle not bottle midrash. And what most people hold, like the Chon Yaakov says, is that it's not bottle midrash. Okay. On that din, on this din that in Or Chaim, that if you make cheese with chametz, you say that it's a maimed, and therefore you can't use it on Pesach. The Magen Avraham says, and the same thing is, if you make mead with your mead, you take your honey and you maimed it, and you make it turn it into an alcoholic beverage, using chametz from a different chametz stick of schnapps, that also is usher. Because it was maimed and you can't eat on Pesach. So the Shulchan Aruch said a case of cheese, okay? And as David pointed out, every case that I told you, all these earlier makaris, every single one of them had to do with cheese, okay? Every one of them was milk turning into cheese, okay? And that's like a classic of a case of maimed. And here, the Magen Avraham is saying it's not just cheese. Okay, he says, okay, so if you make meat out of it also, okay, but you take honey and you turn it into this alcoholic beverage instead of just being just honey. Okay, so we're gonna you'll see, I'm gonna give you now 9 examples in a second of all the cases of Davar HaMaimed, and you'll see that it's very accepted to extend, not just that the Davar HaMaimed doesn't only apply to cheese, it applies to other things also. And next time I'll explain to you reasons why what I just said might not be true. Okay? But for now, we assume, the Magen Avraham says it in Hilchos Pesach, that it doesn't only apply to cheese. Again, every one of these cases is a case of cheese. But the we assume that it goes to other cases also.
Does the meat turn into something else, or just gets fermented? Like what?
It's fermented. Meat. It's like you take grapes and they turn into wine and they turn into brandy.
Doesn't remind me. It doesn't really do anything.
It's not the same thing. Okay, we'll talk about next time more why maybe it is or is not a Davar HaMaimed. Okay, but we're assuming that it is. Yeah, it used to be honey and now it's alcoholic beverage. It's a whole new thing. Okay. Okay. So now I'm going to tell you.
You're making seltzer. Carbonation. Yeah. It's not minded.
It's not, in seltzer is you're taking two things and putting them together. Okay, here, we're taking this thing, we're putting in something magical, and we come back tomorrow, all of a sudden this thing changes into something new. It has a whole new form to it.
If you cook something, that's not my myth, that's a very strong change, right?
Okay, well, if you had done that with Isser, we have to think about that. I'm not sure. That made it a little strange. I'll have an answer in a second. What'd you say?
You pickled salmon or something with
something
else, right? So
with
the salmon,
I'm not Yeah, potentially. Okay. But now, before I'm going to get to my exam, I'm going to have non-exams. Unfortunately, my next bunch of slides did not work. Okay, so you're not going to see my next bunch of slides. Okay, but.
Yeah.
It has to do with my trip yesterday. Okay. So you're not going to see the slides until, I don't know, a different year. But there are going to be, I'm going to tell you four exceptions when we don't say Dover minor. Okay. And then those four exceptions are going to help us understand my nine examples that come afterwards. Okay. Okay, the first one is easy. Okay, the first one is what I told you beforehand. We only say Dover HaMaimed when there's Isser being Maimed Heter. But when it's a Shiloh Basa B'Cholov, as I told you this already, but if it's a Shiloh Basa B'Cholov, then there's no issue of, then we don't say Dover HaMaimed. The Basa isn't the Cholov, or Cholov isn't the Basa, that one is Maimed the other one. That's what I told you beforehand, that you're making cheese, that there's no Dover HaMaimed from Heter, because that's Shiloh Basa B'Cholov, it has to be Nois and Tam. But if it's a Shiloh of Isser, then the only Maimed is by Isser, number one. Number two, in order for something to ask something else when it's a maimed, it has to be that it's inherently usher. The Ramah's words is it dover ha, in Pezayin, dover ha usher me'atzmoy. It's inherently usher. Like in his case, the keva is from an avela. The keva itself is treif. But if the thing is not usher, but it just has a blia of isser to it, then it's not a maimed. Okay, from the logic of it, we say is the isser is not being maimed anything. The isser is just a blia. The other thing is being maimed. It's similar to din. This is a hilchos teruvis din, which is called the melech habluah midam. That if you have something, you have salt that has blood absorbed into it, and then you put the salt into a food, so the salt is nice. It's avito l'taima, but the blood is not avito l'taima. The blood would be batal b'shishim. So we say, even though the salt is avizal taima, the salt is bottled into the food because it's the salt is kosher. The blood is not avizal taima. So the salt and the blood are sort of like going simultaneously. The salt is avizal taima. The blood is not. So it's a melech habluah midam and it's mutter. Even though the salt is treif, even though the salt is considered to be 100% treif, but the iser shaboy does not become an avidal time. Because the iser shabbat, the blood is not avidal time. Only the salt is avidal time. Okay, that takas din hilchos haruvis. But here it comes over here also. It has to be davar ha'asami atzmi. The Ramah says, you only say a maimed when the thing itself is treif, not when something else is treif about. Okay, so that example, punt, is that happens to be relevant to us. And that is, actually, to our din, and to our topic officially, is alcoholic beverages, which is, we tell people that they can eat all different types of alcoholic beverages. So, yes and no. Okay, but every single alcoholic beverage has got yeast in it. Okay, now yeast can be treif. For example, we tell people if you want to make your own beer or your own alcoholic beverages, you should get yeast with hashgacha, because yeast could be treif. Well, if yeast could be treif, and yeast is every single alcoholic beverage has got yeast in it. So wasn't the yeast miming the beverage? So shouldn't that make the everything treif? So how can we have a beverage list? Our alcohol list should just say it. Nothing. Everything requires hashgacha because everything has yeast in it, right? So the answer to that question is that nowadays the likelihood of the yeast being inherently kosher is very small. Okay, what? Did I say kosher? Inherently not kosher is very small. The biggest chashashas are that maybe some of the ingredients there were made on treif kalim. Maybe the yeast itself was spray dried on treif kalim. Maybe the processing equipment had other things been going on in it. But the chance of the yeast being inherently treif is very small, and therefore, if they use yeast in making this, in making your beer or your whiskey or whatever you're making out of it, whatever you're making, it's not a davar ha'maimed because it's not davar ha'asami atzmai. Okay, the yeast is not inherently treif. What? It's really hard to imagine nowadays that if you made it, it could be. It could be. You propagate it on sugar, and the sugar theoretically could come from grape juice. Okay, but it's very unlikely that should happen.
Why is
it unlikely? It's just the mitzvah. It's just, why would somebody go and take sugar and turn it into take grapes and turn it into sugar and make it to use for glucose? And there's a zillion sources of sugar all over the place, of glucose all over the place.
You're saying it's ripe sucrose is not
like 95%. Like it's very small, like small chance that it should be that it should come out from something that's treif. So it's something that we wouldn't really be cautious for. It's not a realistic chashash that that's going to come from those things. Now, it could, I guess it could be, but that's not the real chashash. The yeast, you should just know, almost all yeast in the world either has hashgacha or could be certified without changing much. But there are some that are made on trade kalim. There's, you know, the more serious issue is the kalim issue. So for kalim issues, that's not a shayla for b'di'evad. But once it's made, it's made. I shouldn't be taking it. If I have something in trade, I shouldn't be putting it in my food because it's bit loose and chafil. I shouldn't be putting it in. But if it's already made, then it's going to be bought. Okay? Okay. The third exception is when we have, I'm sorry, I don't have slides to keep you attentive. Third example is if the Rambam says this one also in Pesach. What happens if the Hamada happened from two things together? One was Kashrim, one was Treif. So then we say that it's Zev Zagurim, and the food is Mutter. Okay, with an exception, the Rambam doesn't say this, but the Taz and Shach both pointed out, if the Isser has enough to be Mamid by itself, if there's enough quantity or quality of the Isser to do the Hamada by itself, then we don't see Zev Zagurim. Okay, we may see an example then in a second. Okay, I don't remember. Okay, and the last one is that there's a Daki Tshuva, or some Pesayin. Daki Tshuva says, Davar Hamaymid is a form, is an example of Bittul, where Bittul does not work. But in order for Davar Hamaymid to be a problem, the Isser has to be mixed into the Heter. What happens if the Isser is not mixed into the Heter? The Isser is on the side, and it somehow had an effect on the heter, like in your case, you cooked the food, so the isser is here, and you somehow had an effect on the food, but nothing's mixed in, there's nothing, no isser is actually in the heter, then the Daki Tshuva says that's not considered Davar Maimon. Okay, Rosh Hashanah, there's a whole explanation as to how that plays into why Davar Maimon is not bottled, not for now. Okay, but Rosh Hashanah said you could apply that Daki Tshuva to something that's very modern, okay, and that is something called glucose isomerase. Okay, glucose isomerase is important for American economy, actually. Glucose isomerase is what converts glucose into fructose. Okay, when you this kind of sugar, we use the word sugar in a colloquial sense, but there's different types of sugars. Glucose and fructose are two of the types of sugars. Fructose is sweeter than glucose is. So when you want to use a sweetener, when you want to make your Pepsi taste better, then you can put in sugar, that tastes very sweet. If you put in glucose, it doesn't taste as sweet. So what you do is you want to put in fructose. So you've heard of high fructose corn syrup. Okay? High fructose corn syrup is you turn corn into corn syrup, okay, that has a lot of glucose in it, and then you use glucose isomerase to turn the glucose into fructose. Okay, I don't know if you ever see on a spec sheet, it's 55-45. Let's say HCFC, HCFS. 55-45, I talk about the ratio of glucose to fructose in the mixture, and by making it a high fructose corn syrup, making a lot of fructose in it, then it tastes sweeter, and that's how we can use corn to sweeten our beverages. Instead of buying sugar from South America, we use corn and support American farmers. Okay, so that's important for the economy. That plays a big role in it, whatever. But Shachter said, if the glucose isomerase was straight, the glucose isomerase is called an immobilized enzyme. Okay, it doesn't go into the food. It sits there in beads in the container, and you pass the glucose over it, and the glucose passes by, and voila, it turns into fructose. Okay, it rearranges the molecules, and it turns it into fructose. So glucose isomerase, if it was straight, would not be considered double reminder, even if you would imagine that changing from glucose to fructose is a maimon, which is probably not, but even if you were to imagine that it was, that changes enough to be called a maimon, even so, it would be mutter, because it's a mobilized enzyme, and it's not mixed into it, based on Daki Tshuva.
How would it be changed?
How could it be changed? Magic, I don't know. I don't have a good chance. I have no idea.
The Gale
maimon? It must have come up with maimon. I don't remember what was the thing. I mean, I guess it could have been, I don't remember. Okay, there's another example of these last, no, of this one and the second one, which was catalyst. Okay, catalyst is when you want to turn one chemical into another chemical. Okay, or you want a chemical to go through some kind of a reaction. So sometimes you will put in something called a catalyst. And the catalyst is something that helps the process go. Okay, in lots of cases, the catalyst will be metal. Like you see, you may have heard of a nickel catalyst. Okay, that means that there's balls of nickel sitting in the reactor. And that plays a role in the reaction happening. It helps the reaction along. Okay? Now, if the nickel does not get diluted or mixed in or broken apart or fall into the food and just sits there, it would be an example of this kind of thing where it's a maimed. Let's say it could be a maimed, but the maimed is not getting mixed in. It would be an example of this Daki Tshuva. The catalysts have other reasons why they're mutter, and that is, one is because I told you before the Ramah says it has to be inherently treif, and usually the nickel, of course, is not treif. Nickel is just a metal. What's treif about it is that it may have been used for something else, so it has a bleed of treif, or it has a coating. They coat the catalyst with oil, so it might have a coating which is treif. Again, both examples, what we said beforehand, that if the thing is not inherently treif, then it's not a considered alignment. But the oil is not the maimed. The oil doesn't do anything. The oil just coats the nickel. It's the nickel that
the
plays
the. Itself is like the
of course, it's well. Yeah, the oil would be butter.
Like the same thing as the blood in itself.
Right. Yeah, I'm saying it's an example of those. But if not for those things, if the nickel, the etzem trade somehow magically the catalyst was trade, then it could be another example of a mobile instance. Okay. So now let's go. Why is it coming through here? Oh. Okay. So I'm going to give you 9 examples. Contemporary examples of Dov Ramayim. Okay? I don't know where that one came. Oh, look at that. My exceptions are here. Okay, I thought the exceptions were not here. I thought these slides did not work. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry again? I'm not going to say it again. Okay. Those are exceptions. Okay. I didn't bring an example for Zev Zagar. That's right. That's going back. Magic. I don't know what's happening. Okay. Sorry, guys. It has to do with my trip yesterday. Okay. The first example is the meat. I told you the Magen Avraham said his example of the meat. Okay, that was number 1. Okay, number 2, cottage cheese. Okay, the way you make cottage cheese is, or a lot of soft cheeses, is you take milk and you add some kind of an acid into it. At home, you would add vinegar or lemon juice or something like that. And when the milk gets acidified, it gets too acidic. And what happens is when the milk gets too acidic, the one of the proteins called casein, and the fat separate out of everything else, and it turns into a cheese. Okay, let's say in the case of cottage cheese, the curds, the chewier parts, float out to the top, and then you mix them with the whey, or you don't mix them with whey, but it separates. Okay, it does this change to make the cottage cheese. Okay, now, assuming that the acid was kosher, okay, we would be okay, except that some people will add in rennet to help speed up the process also. Okay? Instead of using just an acid, they'll add some rennet also. Rennet, as I thought I said beforehand, is like a kava. Rennet is what makes hard cheeses. Okay, except it also separates casein and fat to make hard cheeses instead of making soft cheeses. So some people add rennet also. But when you make a soft cheese, when you make like a cottage cheese, you get very, very little rennet. Okay, the rennet is not possible that it could be mimed this milk into cheese. In no way that is there enough rennet to be mimed the cheese with that. And therefore, even if the rennet is treif, it's going to be zev zagar. Okay, because the hamada, the creation of the cottage cheese came about because of 2 things. One is the acid, and one is the rennet. The iser doesn't have enough to do the hamada by itself, and therefore, even if the rennet that was put in was treif, it would be zev zagar, and it was zev zagar, and the cottage cheese would be mutter.
Let our companies do that, right?
I'm not going to do it with Hatila. I'm thinking all my examples are things that happened already, okay? If someone did it, if you had it. You're asking a very sophisticated question, okay? I'm talking about Lamaise. If we had a cottage cheese in front of us and someone put it in, okay, we'll figure out the case, okay? I'm trying to make a point. I'm not trying to tell you to go buy it. I'm not telling you to go to the supermarket. I'm just giving you an example of a Zev Zagar. Okay. Now, what happens if it was not cottage cheese, but it was vinegar? Okay? Vinegar, if you leave something alcoholic, not like schnapps, if you eat something like wine out by itself, you just leave it out, take the cover off, and leave it exposed to the ear, it'll turn into vinegar. Okay? The alcohol turns into what's called acetic acid, and you'll have vinegar. Okay?
Called what?
Acetic acid. The alcohol turns into something else called acetic acid, and it becomes vinegar. Okay, if you look on your vinegar jar at home, it'll say 5% acetic acid. Okay, so it'll happen by itself. If you leave the bottle of wine uncovered, that's what'll happen. But if you want to happen faster, you add your own acetic acid to it. Okay, you add what's called mother of vinegar. Okay, you put in whatever, like shmarim, you add something in that makes it adds in a clump of what's called acetobacter, the bacteria that does this, and it turns the wine into vinegar, or the alcohol into vinegar. That's what it does. Okay, so if you put that into the wine, then the wine into kosher wine, then it would be treif. Then we would say that it was maimedin. Even though if you wait around for long enough, the wine will turn into vinegar by itself. It doesn't need this; it'll do it by itself anyhow. But this is a case where the maimed of iser does have enough to do the hamada by itself, because here this, in fact, it did it very quickly by itself. So therefore, in this case, it would be osir. And you put that in. Okay. Now, we had a variation of this, Shaila, came from a company like this. This was actually a real, this shayach happened for real, for our shlacha, for us. A company, it was a bakery that had been operating for 7 years. Bakeries don't like to use yeast like most of us use at home, you know, from a powder or even from, you know, from the refrigerator. They don't like to use that. They like to use sourdough. Okay, they want to get their yeast from sourdough. If I remind you, sourdough means is you take dough, and yeast comes in from the atmosphere by itself, and forget, you have dough that has yeast in it, and if you let it sit for a whole day, if you let it sit for a day, the yeast keeps on building up inside there until the thing that you have left is sa'ar. It's this ball of yeast, a ball with a very concentrated amount of yeast. It tastes awful. That's why it's called sourdough. Okay, it tastes awful because it's all this yeast in it. And then you use that for tomorrow's yeast. Okay, and then tomorrow, if you make your batch of bread, you take a little piece off and you save it again for the next day. Okay, for those of you with little kids, that's the longest Pesach has to do with that. Okay, anyhow, so that's what sourdough is. Okay, so this company like this, when the company, I'll explain it to you, for those who don't know Rabbi Kunda. Okay, I'll explain that answer. The company did like this. When they started, they took grapes, if I remember the story correctly, they took grapes and they squeezed grapes to make 4 ounces of grape juice, okay, by themselves. Okay, squeezed 4 ounces, they made 4 ounces of actual grape juice, and they left it on the counter for a day. Okay, and what happened is, by the time you came back tomorrow, then the yeast from the peels and from the atmosphere had started working on the grape juice, and now there was nice amount of yeast living in there, working on the grape juice. Okay, so to that 4 ounces of grape juice, they now added 4 ounces of flour and 4 ounces of water. Okay, so they had 12 ounces altogether, and they left that sit for a day. When they came back the next day, okay, then that's now the third day. When they came back this third day, now we had 12 ounces with a lot of yeast, and the yeast propagated and kept on building itself up. So now on our third day, when we had 12 ounces, they added 12 ounces of flour and 12 ounces of water. Okay, and now they have 36 ounces. They left that for a day. Okay, and they kept on doing this until they had built up to having an 80-pound batch of flour and water, an 80-pound batch that was full of yeast. Okay, it's 80 pounds of sourdough. That's what they had. And now what they do is, from then on, for the past 7 years, what they do is, every single day they do the following. They take out 40 pounds of that batch, and they use it all around the bakery. They make all their breads and things like that they have to make. They take those 40 pounds out, and then they put in 20 more pounds of flour, 20 more pounds of water, so that tomorrow they'll again have 80 pounds from which they take 40 pounds. Okay, they've been doing this for 7 years straight. Okay, this sourdough has been kept alive for 7 years, and they've been baking from ever, mamash for 7 years, and they came for Ashkenaz. And we said, well, where's your sourdough? And they told us the whole story of how they got their sourdough. Okay, where the sourdough came from. Now, so remember, the beginning of the story was Stan Yayin. Okay, the first day, 7 years ago, Jose squeezed the grapes, and he made Stan Yayin. Okay, so the whole thing has a hamada from Stan Yayin. That's what happened. He started with Stan Yayin, and he was miming it again and again and again, and they've done it now thousands and thousands of times. Think about how many times they did this over the past 7 years. So on the surface of it, it should not be bottle. It should be many hamadas. Okay, why it's not, I mentioned before in the Beis Yosef about three hamadas to get rid of it, not for today. Okay, we talked about that once before. Okay, three hamadas is not, let's say three hamadas doesn't work over here. So the question just is, so seemingly, it had a hamada iser, and now this sourdough should be us. We should make them start again from scratch. This time we'll have a yid do the grape juice. Okay, but on the other hand, it's hard to believe that after literally thousands and thousands of hamadas, that we should still be choshish that the grape juice still has a role over here. It's not really the case of the three hamadas, because I told you that doesn't apply here, but it's like that at a certain point, if the thousands of hamadas l'chayra, we should be able to say that's not it. Okay, that was the shayla. I don't remember how we ended off with that company, but I do remember that was the shayla that came up now. Okay, number five, stabilizer. Okay. Rosh Shechta said that if you have a stabilizer, which is Isser, somebody used a stabilizer, which was Isser, they weren't supposed to, they used a stabilizer, which is Isser, he thought that was not considered Dov HaMayim. Okay, why? Because the stabilizer doesn't do very much to the food. You have a food, and if you leave it by itself, it'll break down, it'll eventually separate, or it won't hold the way it's supposed to, and the stabilizer keeps it stable. It makes it manage the way it is. Maybe even an emulsifier, sometimes it also, it makes it keep the form that it has to it. So he said, that it doesn't do anything. It just prevents bad things from happening. He thought that was not dramatic enough to be considered a minor. It's a theoretical thing. If I would leave it until tomorrow, this is what's going to happen. This is what keeps that from happening. He thought that was not considered a minor.
Literal translation of minor.
No, because it doesn't minor. It holds it. It doesn't create it. It holds it.
In the technical sense.
because the Rav Meir, it sounds like it's been holding it up.
Yeah.
Right. He didn't think that was enough. Okay. A similar thing is, you may have heard this. This is a Pesach Shaila, that when you make sugar and certain oils like olive oil, they add an enzyme in when they're making it. Okay. You may have heard this. Pesach time, people talk about this for sugar, and they say is when you make sugar, they're taking sugar from cane or from beets or wherever they're getting it from, and there's a certain amount of starch gets mixed into there. Some of the sugars have clumped together into starches, and they put in enzymes to break apart those starches. So, if we would say that turning a starch into a sugar, I'm going to talk about in a second, would be considered davar ha'maimed, then there are people who want to argue that this should be a maimed. It created the sugar, took starch and turned it into sugar, or it took oil, it breaks apart some. I forgot what breaks apart. It breaks apart cellulose to help release some of the oils. Okay, so people who want to argue that, now those, of course, those people who argue that don't eat sugar on Pesach, because just about every single sugar, and it's, for some reason, it seems to always be hot. It's like, it's really hard to get sugar that's not like that. So the, even with kosher Pesach. But the thing is, in truth, the overall effect on this food is, I don't want to say, almost imperceptible, which is to say it's a bazillion pounds of sugar, and it is a tiny bit that used to be starch would be sugar, so it increases yield a little bit, and then the oil, you get a little more oil out of it, but in the overall picture, it's not changing the taste or making any big change, and therefore that's assumed to not be considered davar ha'maimed. Okay? And if we were to take the enzyme just for the starch itself, it might be davar ha'maimed, but in the big picture, it's not davar ha'maimed. Okay? Now, my last three examples, you see this three.
So it's bottle?
It's bottle. It's bottle. Yeah. The maimed means it would be a reason why it would not be bottle, but if it's not a maimed, then it's bottle. Okay. Okay, now for my last three examples, I have a feeling that these slides are not going to work right. Okay, but you're going to have to just bear with me then. Okay. I'll remind you that we talked about this plenty of times, that starch, like from potatoes or rice or corn or wheat, starch, is comprised of many, many sugar molecules. Okay, that word sugar is being used loosely. Okay, many sugar molecules, and hundreds or thousands of sugar molecules, and you could break those molecules apart to make smaller molecules. Okay, and what happens is the smaller, the fewer sugars that there are in a row, the sweeter it is. So a starch, think about a potato. Okay, potatoes aren't terribly sweet, or rice, or corn. If not, itself is not so sweet. If you break down the starch into something, into fewer sugars, not such long chains, then it's sweeter. Think about corn syrup, okay? Think about carrot syrup. Okay, carrot syrup is starch broken down into sugars, into smaller chain sugars, and it's sweeter. As you get smaller and smaller, it's shorter and shorter chains, it's sweeter and sweeter.
Starch has sugar?
Starch is comprised of many sugars. Okay. Starch, if you look on nutrition facts of a food, it says carbohydrates, and in that is sugars, because carbohydrates and sugars are the same thing. A potato, the starch in a potato is thousands of sugar molecules strung together. Okay, that's what a starch is. And then you can break them apart. And as you break them apart, they get sweeter and sweeter. So I'm going to tell you about three ways to do that, three versions of that, okay, to see whether they seem like davar ha'maimed. Okay, now, here's a picture, a very crude drawing, okay, by yours truly. Okay, and that's just like this. I'm showing you four things. The first is a starch, okay? And each of those little stars is supposed to be one sugar molecule, okay? Get it? So the starch has got many...
What is a sugar?
What?
What is a sugar?
Wonder really what it is? It's six carbons and a bunch of...
It's a clump of enzymes?
C6H12O6. It's a thing. It's a molecule. I think we had it last week or last time. I don't remember. It's a bunch of C6H12O6. Yeah, it's a bunch of things together.
That have to clump together. I mean, we're just calling it.
They create something which we call, again, there are more than one type of sugar. I'm using that term loosely for sugar. There's galactose and sucrose and fructose and glucose is a bunch of them. Okay, but we all call them together sugar. They roughly all have, almost every one of them has the formula C6H12O6. And that's what it is. Okay, it's a thing that, you know, it tastes sweet. Okay, so if we have starch, it's got thousands of these things strung together. Okay, dextrin, also known as polysaccharides or maltodextrin, is a broken apart version of that. Okay, and the dextrin's got all different lengths of it. Okay? You break apart the starch in a certain amount, you get a dextrin. Okay, some starch. Some sugars come in two together. Okay, you're very familiar with this. Okay, table sugar. Okay, we're going to see table sugar in a second. Table sugar is just two sugars together. Okay, very, very sweet. Okay, and a monosaccharide, just a plain one sugar by itself, one sugar molecule by itself, a mono, one sugar molecule by itself is seemingly is the sweetest. Okay, so now, okay, the first one we're going to talk about is alpha amylase. Okay, alpha amylase is an enzyme which is found in saliva. That's not where they get it from commercially, we hope. A bunch of people spitting into a bowl. But alpha amylase is an enzyme that breaks apart sugar, and what it does is, let's see, hopefully the next slide works. Yes, it makes starch into dextrin. Okay, that's what it does. It takes starch and it breaks it apart into what we call polysaccharides or maltodextrin. It goes by a bunch of different names. That's considered double hamimin because it takes the bland thing and turns it relatively sweet.
Okay, sweeter a bit.
What'd you say?
You know, they're all still there.
The breaking down of them already makes it somewhat sweeter. It's assumed that that's considered double hamimin. Okay, now the next one, a variation of that is called barley beta amylase. Okay, you see that the alpha and the beta is just because there are many, many amylases, and amylase is something that breaks down sugar, breaks down starches. This one is called the second one, okay, beta amylase. Okay, but particularly the one that comes from barley. Now let's see if this works. Yes. Okay. And it has a very particular, interesting property. It takes starch, and it breaks down to something very specific, maltose. Okay, maltose is a disaccharide. It's two sugars together, and they're both glucoses. Okay, so it breaks down starches into maltose. Okay, that's what it does. Okay, so barley beta amylase does that. Now, other beta amylases don't do that. Other beta amylases break down to other things. But barley beta amylase has this particular property that it makes maltose. And, of course, it's used in making alcoholic beverages. It's used in other things also, okay? Maltose. And this one is even more clear that this is a double hamimin. Imagine you take potatoes, or you take rice, and you turn it into maltose. Okay, maltose is very sweet. It's a very sweet liquid. But however, that's very much assumed to be a double hamimin. Okay, and then the last one is a little bit of a variation of that, and it's called invertase. Okay? Tadashav, they hold the end with ace. Okay, that means it has to do with sugar. No, ace has to do with sugar. Yes, right. Okay. Invertase, you're right. I'm sorry, I take it back. Invertase is like this. Let's see if this slide works. Okay. Invertase does the following. It takes sucrose, that's table sugar. Okay. Sucrose is not made of two glucoses. It's made from a glucose and a fructose. Okay. Together. Okay, and invertase breaks them apart into two separate monosaccharides, into glucose and fructose, two separate things. Okay? And in this case, the two monosaccharides are a drop sweeter than the sucrose is itself, but it's assumed that these two, there's not such a dramatic difference between sucrose and the two individual molecules by themselves, and therefore it should not qualify as a double hamimin. Okay? Even though it did something, it changes glucose into sugar, table sugar, into glucose and fructose, that is not enough to make a difference. Okay? No. They use it because they want to make a difference. I think, as far as halakhically, it didn't make such a dramatic difference that we should say it's a double hamimin. It made such a big change in the thing that's different for Asher as a double hamimin. Okay, now, today, I told you, today was just a hot tumma, so we took a just double hamimin sort of in a general sense. Next time, we're going to back to the Rambo. Why, what has to do with the Rambo that we read? The big shayla that plays into this Rambo is over here.